This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
The debate and the public discussion over who Jesus really is still raging all over the world. Philosophers of various stripes and pseudo-religious teachers say Jesus was a wise teacher. They say we should study Jesus' teachings to learn how to act and to behave to one another. We should think about how Jesus lived so we can do nice things and live like he would want us to live. New Age leaders say Jesus was very spiritual, a guru of some sort, and picture him as one of those wise men sitting on the top of the mountain that people climb up to get a revelation from him when they reach the top, if they ever make it that far. In New Age thought, he's positive energy. He's the one who helps our minds be positive so we can channel good vibes to the world. Islam says Jesus was a prophet, and the Quran even says Jesus was the Messiah. Now, some atheists go far as to say that Jesus was a myth, a fictional character contrived by religious figures to manipulate others. They do this by stretching historical facts to amazing ends, and they actually have to openly deny historical evidence that shows that Jesus really lived. Other atheists admit he was a real historic figure and wonder that if we're able to do the things he taught, how much different the world might be. Even in his days on earth, the religious leaders of the time, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, called him a Samaritan. That was in John 8:48. They said he was demon-possessed, John 7:20 and John 8:52. You know where they say, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And the Pharisees actually asked Jesus that with a straight face. They thought that his birth was illegitimate, John 8:41, and even said Jesus' power to do miracles was from the devil, Matthew 12:24. In our contemporary times, the pop culture has tried to make Jesus a hippie, as in Jesus Christ Superstar, the movie, or they even portrayed him as a clown in the musical Godspell. Well, who was Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, we've already seen in John chapter 4 where the Lord tells a Samaritan woman outright that he was the Messiah, God's only begotten Son incarnate. Today's passage will tell us a lot about who he was and still is. Our John passage today is John chapter 5, verses 16 through 30. That's John chapter 5, verses 16 through 30. If everyone would turn there and follow along as I read the passage. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Verses 16 and 17. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." They sought to persecute him because he actually had the nerve to violate their personally instituted rules on what they thought should and should not be done on the Sabbath. It's like us deciding, well, I think June 14th should be celebrated as a great festival. And somebody said, well, who says so? And you say, I did. And then they say, well, we're not doing that. And then you get mad and want to persecute them because of it. See, that's exactly what's going on here, because the Pharisees, their party for 200 years, have been writing a whole bunch of different rules and adding all other kinds of requirements on what you could and could not do on the Sabbath. Jesus said, I'm not doing any of that. As a matter of fact, you guys are clueless about the Sabbath. And Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, in the Gospel of Mark. And you can imagine the Pharisees' great consternation when this man standing in front of them actually says, hey, I am the God who established the Sabbath, so I know what the Sabbath is about. Well, of course, he would say, hey, I'm the man. How is Jesus going to answer a question like that? Who do you think you are? Well, Jesus' only recourse was to say, well, I'm God. And, of course, they objected to that. Now, this verse, though, this passage of 16 and 17, is wonderful news. Because what this means is his Father has been working and Jesus is working. Do you know what that means for us? It means that Jesus is active in his creation. He's not standing idly by letting a whole bunch of stuff happen. And he is actively walking with us in this time. And he's busy in his creation taking care of his people. That's what Jesus is telling them there. He's telling us that too. I have been working. My Father's been working. That means we are busy doing our God thing on your behalf. Do you know what that means? We're not flailing endlessly on our own, having to struggle under our own power to try to make sense of the world around us. And that ought to be good news for any of us in here today. Just turn on the television news and try to explain in understandable terms what's going on in the world to somebody. We can't figure this out. We can't explain why what's going on between North Korea and Japan and the rest of the world, actually. You know, we can't fathom what's going on in that ruler's head. But what we do know is the one who does know. And he's active and working in his creation. Verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Do we see that what John is describing for us? This is incredibly significant. In the adult Bible study last week, we talked about how and when John the Apostle mentions the Jews. He's talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and those who followed them. We know this because Peter, James, John, Nathanael, and Simon, they were all Jews. John was a Jew, the writer. So they were all Jews too. But John is making specific reference to the Jews here. And so what he's talking about, or who he's talking about, is the Pharisees. And they are trying and conspiring for a way to kill Jesus. John's telling us that the Pharisees and their fellow travelers were trying to get rid of and kill the Lord of glory for two reasons. They were mad because he wasn't upholding their self-derived traditions. They were trying to kill Jesus also because Jesus said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They understood the implications for Jesus saying that he was the Son of God. The Pharisees knew from the book of Daniel that the Son of God or the Son of Man was in fact God, who has control over the kingdom of the world. They knew that, and they understood the implications of what Jesus was telling them. And they didn't want to believe him. And so, as is the case with us so many times, when we come up against something we hear that we don't like, our recourse is to lash out and to shoot the messenger, or reject the message, or reject both, because we don't want to hear it. And that's what they were doing there. And they thought it would be easier to kill Jesus than to deal with the truth that he was speaking. Verse 19, Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do." What did he mean by that? And what part of Jesus' nature is described here? And that's one of your questions on your handout. But the verse is 19, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner." This is Jesus doing what Paul said in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. That's that marvelous verse where Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Paul is telling us outright that Jesus is God. But you know what's so amazing about what Paul is telling us there? He's saying that Jesus is God, but out of his love for us, he willingly assumed the limitations of a human body and came down, and he gave up that exalted status to come down and walk among us for those years. He willingly took the limitations of having to be in a human body and being in one place at one time. Why would he do that? Why would he be willing to come out of his glorious realm of heaven and step down onto the earth and take on the form of being human? And he did it willingly. And then as Jesus the man, the God-man, willingly submitted himself to the authority of the Father, and in the ultimate act of service, obeyed the plan from eternity past and died on a cross on our behalf and in our place. That is what this means. The Son of Man can do nothing of himself because he's God in the flesh incarnate, willingly coming under the authority of the Father and fulfilling that plan of salvation that had been set from eternity past. Man, that is the ultimate act of servanthood and sacrifice. Giving up an exalted status and accepting the limitations of being down here. And that's what that is. Verse 20. "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel." This is a promise from Jesus that the Father's plans are for the Son to do amazing things. The Son will do miracles. The Son will do his ministry perfectly, amaze people, and in the end do the greatest miracle of all, sacrifice himself to pay for our sin. Do we see, and can we even begin to fathom what an incredible miracle that is? That all of our sin debt is paid for by Jesus. At the very small level, this is like the frequently told story of a judge who had a poor man standing before him. The man had a fine for speeding, driving without a license, and a host of other offenses. And that man was standing before the bench. And this man was even charged with perjury, lying in court, petty theft, and even drunken disorderly. This guy had a rap sheet of a long a long list of minor offenses standing before the judge. The judge looked at him, and he saw that the man didn't have the money and that he couldn't serve the jail time because the man had a family. He was poor, and his time in jail would likely put them so far behind in their bills that they would never pay up and end up being homeless. So the judge stood up, took off his robe, went over to the court clerk, opened his wallet, and paid the man's fines. Then he went back onto the bench, put on his robes, banged his gavel, and said, "Case dismissed. You are free to go." This story relates because we have a long list of offenses before God. Jesus stood up. He left the throne of heaven, and he came down, and he paid our debt. And then he returned to heaven and is now once again seated on the throne. That's what the judge did for that man. And that perfectly illustrates what Jesus has done for us. And then there's the promise of greater works. And one of those greater works is eternal life in relationship with the Father. We can actually walk with Jesus in this life. We can actually have fellowship with Jesus in this life. We can actually talk to God and have Him answer us because He's listening. He will speak to us in the still small voice in our hearts. He'll speak to us through His Word. He'll even speak to us through a sermon. He'll even speak to us through circumstances. But He will speak, and we can get to know Him personally through these things. He's not this distant, far-off thing. He's knowable. And then we can share His love with the world. We can share the touch of Christ with people who need it. The closer we get to Him, the more we become like Him. And the more we can reach out to the world around us, and the more they can see the likeness of Christ in us. See, we may not see what they see because we think we know ourselves. And when we look in the mirror in the morning, we can say, "This isn't even a miracle that I can even say that I'm saved." But you see, what we don't know is how much of the Holy Spirit those unsaved people around us see in us, because Christ is at work. We may not know what they experience or what they sense coming from us, but so then the answer to that for us, if we're worried about that, is to get closer to the Lord so we get to be more like Him, so they can see more of Him in us. And that's one of the greatest works the Lord can do, is use us. Think about that. God actually using us to reach the world with His love. Can we fathom that? Can we understand that? God, you can actually use me? Have you ever asked the Lord that? "Lord, you mean you can actually use me to touch somebody?" And Jesus' answer is yes. And not only that, not only can I want to, is what He'll say. Verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will." Jesus is saying here that He and the Father are equal because both He and the Father have and are the very power over life and death itself. "The Son gives life to whom He will," Jesus said. This is what frightened them even more too. The Pharisees, think about this. They're talking with Jesus, and Jesus is actually telling them that He ultimately has power of life and death with Himself. And He's telling this to the Pharisees. That takes guts to say, "Hey, I am God, and I have the power of life and death, and you don't." And He's looking them in the eye and telling them that. That's pretty gutsy, don't you think? Verses 22 and 23. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." This is also kind of amazing. What Jesus teaches us here is that Jesus is the judge. He's the righteous judge who will reward everyone for what they have done. He covers this a little bit later, but for the moment we see that Jesus is the one who will sit on the throne of judgment. And that was in our Romans reading this morning, that we will all stand before the judgment seat. And he will have his angels open the book of life to see whose name is in it. Do you know what this means? It means that we need to truly honor, reverence, and worship Jesus as the Holy One. He should be held with awestruck amazement at his greatness. Verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. For the one who hears and believes, this is a precious promise, that if we receive the word of the Lord gladly, if we take it to heart and believe in Jesus, not just believe that he lived, but that he listens, and we obey him, that we don't just believe he was a historical figure, but we believe and know that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, but we listen to him, we follow him, and we obey him, that we will have eternal life. For the previous 2 weeks, we've seen the power of Jesus' words when they are believed and acted upon. The nobleman believed, his son was healed, and his family was saved. Last week, that man who had sat by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years upon hearing a command from our Lord, heard, believed, and obeyed, and he got up and he walked out of that place. The power of believing and acting upon the word of the Lord is amazing. Believing and acting upon the word of God will change our lives and will have eternal life. If we hear this word, we read this word, we digest this word, and we obey this word. And if the people around us see the reality of the Word of God working in us, then we can shine His light into their lives and they can have this life too. See, folks, today this is all about trusting and believing in who Jesus really is and reflecting that reality to the rest of the world around us. Being like Him, reflecting His reality to those who don't know Him. And verses 25 and 26 continue, "Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." So we look at this verse and say, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. So we have to ask, well, who are the dead? Well, it's really not that hard. The dead are the people who are not saved. At some point, those who are dead will have the opportunity to hear the voice of Jesus, and those who hear and listen will live. Now, you say, but Jesus may not speak to them directly. He doesn't need to. That's why we're here. They're going to hear the voice of Jesus through us. They're going to read Jesus by us. As I've heard it said many times, folks, sometimes we may be the only Bible some worldly people ever look at. Because they don't own one, they have no intention of going to buy one, and the closest they've ever come to reading the Bible is if one was sitting on the shelf in the library when they walk past it. But they do see us. And that's why we need to take to heart what Jesus is telling us today about who he really is, so we can be the Word of God for them. The dead will hear. But the noun form in this verse changes here just enough to where the first word for hear is like a general hear to have it pass by their ears. The second one is a form that says those who hear and keep hearing will have life. See, what Jesus is saying here is the one who hears it, but then apprehends it, holds on to it, and then lives it, is the one who will be saved. In other words, this is the difference between just hearing a sermon and the difference between that and absorbing the sermon and continuing to let the words bounce around in our head and do their work. Verses 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to hear the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is the promise of the resurrection of the righteous to eternal life at the end. That's simple. That's all this is. Hours coming when those who are in the graves will hear his voice. That's the one that says, come out of there and come on up. That's the resurrection at the end. Verse 30. What does Jesus mean by what he says in verse 30? I can't of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. This is Jesus' ultimate example of servanthood for all of us. Jesus walked on this earth and willingly as a servant. He obeyed his heavenly Father and did the will of his Father. Jesus showed us an example that we can follow. It's difficult on our own strength, yes. There's not a one of us in this sanctuary today who can do the will of our heavenly Father on our own strength, can we? Try to live and walk the Christian life on our own will only leave us discouraged, depressed, demoralized, and defeated. We will have a sense of hopelessness and helplessness when we discover that living by our own goodness will leave us empty and exasperated. And he made that clear in John 15 when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But John told us in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome the world in them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Jesus living in us is greater than all of those other adversarial events and spirits that are out there in the world. Jesus living in us is greater than anything around us. Jesus in us, because Jesus is greater than anything in this world. And if you don't take anything away from this else, away from this sermon today, remember that. That greater is he who is in you, in me, than he who is out there in the world. Then Paul tells us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who lives in me. And that's all we have time for today. But what we can learn from this passage today is this. Jesus is God in the flesh. Don't try to explain it away. Don't dismiss it. And don't ignore it. But believe it. Walk in it. And his life-changing power will change us. And then we can be life changers in the world around us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that though this passage is somewhat mysterious because Jesus seems to be speaking in all these abstract terms, Lord, what we can take away from it is pretty simple. You're who you say you are, and if you're living in us, we can do great things because we have eternal life. So, Lord, help us to keep it simple and not make it too difficult. Just trust you and walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.